today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
Did you know that all things are possible with God? Did you know that God is able? I'm not able, we're not able, but God is able. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, and you're looking at it and you're thinking, I don't have the money, I don't have the ability or the talent, or I don't know what to do. God is in control. God is able. I can't fix my kids, they're all messed up. He is able. I can't fix my marriage. He is able.
There are times in your life when what you're facing seems impossible, simply too much to overcome. In today's message, Pastor John encourages you to remember that God is big enough to handle anything you're facing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they couldn't bow and worship Nebuchadnezzar, and they were willing to count the cost of that choice. These men trusted that God was enough for them in their situation and saw Him show up in an amazing way. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Daniel chapter 3 as he continues his message, Faith in the Fiery Furnace.
Of all those that bowed, the entire nation, standing out in the middle of the sea of people, I visualized three young Hebrews. And they're very young still, young men. They're standing straight. They're standing tall. You talk about sticking out in a crowd. Can you imagine standing up and looking out over thousands of people, literally thousands of people around you, and they're all bowing down in your face, and you're kind of standing there like, It's like, what are we? It's like, whoa, dude. I got a feeling that we're going to get in trouble here. We're like really standing out. You know, if you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to be different than the crowd. You're going to stand out on the job. You're going to stand out at work. You're going to stand out in your neighborhood. You may even stand out in your own family if you're a believer, as you stand for the Lord. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have come up with many excuses for bowing down, just like we sometimes create excuses for bowing down to the ways of the world. They could have said, God knows our hearts. We'll just bow down on the outside, but He knows we love Him on the inside. We may be going through the motions, but God knows our hearts, but that wasn't going to happen. They could have secondly argued and said, God will forgive us. That's another cop-out that people do. Well, everybody's doing it, so I'm just going to do it, and you know, I'll play now and pray later. God will forgive me. There's always 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They could have also said, everybody's doing it. Wow. When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. Worship the golden image. If we don't, we're all going to die. Or they could have said, you know what? If we die, we're no good to God. If we die, we can't help the other Jews. And interesting that no other Jews are mentioned here. Could it be that the other Jews were bowing down? And it's interesting too. And if I don't forget, and I remember, I'll come back to it, where's Daniel? One thing we do know, Daniel isn't bowing. Daniel isn't going to worship this golden image. So Daniel either off on an official trip somewhere, or Daniel was excused from the king because he'd been exalted to an important place, and he was over everybody else. But interesting that there's the absence of Daniel in this story. Just the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they could have said, look, we'll just bow, God will forgive us, and then we can be in this position of importance, we can help other Jews and be a testimony for God. Or they could have said, let's just do it, this is too hard. God's asking us to do too much. I don't have the strength or the power to do it. I believe that whatever God commands us to do, God will give us the strength and the ability to do it. It's that simple. If God tells you to love your wife as Christ loved the church, husbands, guess what? You can do that. If God tells you as a wife to submit to your husband, I know it sounds impossible. But guess what? You can do that. If God says this is His will, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, guess what, people of God? It can be done, amen? God can give you the strength and the ability. Oh, but the temptation's so great. Oh, but everybody's doing it. Oh, but it's so acceptable. Oh, it's just so in vogue today. Oh, God will forgive me. God knows my heart. I really love Him. Or God, I'm not strong enough to do this. God gives us the strength to do what He commands us to do. I believe that. And whatever God has told us in His Word is His will for our lives, we need to just yield our bodies and trust Him, as we're going to see these three Hebrews did. Now, how they answered the king is amazing to me in verse 16. They answered the king with conviction. We don't need to talk about this. No discussion here. No need to debate it. We don't need to talk about the situation. The matter had already been settled. Why? Because they knew the Word of God. Write that on the inside of your eyeballs, or eyelids, I guess, would work a little better. They knew the Bible. And once you know the Bible, guess what you have to do? Obey it. You go, yeah, that's why I don't want to come to church anymore. I don't want to hear the Bible anymore. Do you know knowledge brings responsibility? The more you know, the more you're responsible. Light brings responsibility. Knowledge brings responsibility. If you're coming to Bible study on Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, during the week, you're responsible. You're responsible to be obedient to what God has called you to do. So they answered with conviction. And they had convictions that provided them courage. Several centuries ago, there was a theologian named Athanasius. And he was being persecuted by the Roman government. And the Roman emperor said to Athanasius, this Christian, Athanasius, don't you understand that the whole world is against you? Athanasius looked back at the emperor and said, then Athanasius is against the whole world. I love that. No matter if any go with us or any follow or any agree, maybe even your family are going a certain direction, you will obey God. You will follow God. You will be faithful to God. We sing, if none go with me, I will still follow. Amen? That's what these three had to do. Their conviction was that obedience to God comes before personal safety. And I think that you should remember that. Obedience to God comes before personal safety. Well, it could be dangerous. Or you could get hurt. They may beat you up. God's called us. God's plan, God's will. And we have to obey, right? Whatever God calls us to do, we must obey. You say, well, you know, we could really run into difficulty. So what? Would you rather disobey God? Would you rather dishonor God? Would you rather be out of the will of God? It's better to obey than it is to disobey God and try to take an easy path. So their conviction was that obedience comes before personal safety. We need to remember that. And then they answered with confidence in verse 17, if so be our God whom we serve is able. I love the Bible passages that affirm the ability of God. Mark that. Did you know that all things are possible with God? Did you know that God is able? I'm not able, we're not able, but God is able. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, and you're looking at it and you're thinking, I don't have the money, I don't have the ability or the talent, or I don't know what to do. God is in control. God is able. I can't fix my kids, they're all messed up. He is able. I can't fix my marriage. He is able. I can't heal my body. He is able. Amen? Bible says He's able to save to the uttermost. those who come to God by Him. Some have changed that to, He's able to save to the guttermost all who come to God by Him. Not only is He able to save, but guess what He's able to do? He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Do you know that God saved you and that God will keep you and God will preserve you? God is able. Here's what you need to do. You need to focus on and hang on to the ability of God. Don't think in terms of your resources or your ability, but focus on God and His ability. God is able. So they answered with confidence. They knew that God was able. And then they answered verse 18 with commitment. And this is my favorite. He said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." Then they say in verse 18, "But if not," you go, wait a minute. What's this "if not" bit? I don't like this "if not." You know, there are some people, based on their positive confession, faith emphasis theology, that think that this is a wrong statement to make. This would be labeled as a negative confession. Never say anything negative. You should only say things that are positive. Here, these three, they say, "Our God is able." It's not a question of the ability of God. Your healing is not a question of God's ability, but it may be a question of God's will. And if it's God's will not to heal you, guess what? God will give you grace. His grace will be sufficient, and His strength will be made perfect in your weakness. If it's God's will not to make you a millionaire, then God will provide for you. God will take care of you. You may be thinking you're not, maybe you're single and you're not married, and you see somebody you think's pretty cool and you like to marry him, and you Jericho marched around their house. And you claimed him in the name of Jesus, and then, you know, "Thus saith the Lord, I will marry you," you know, kind of a thing. And then it doesn't happen, and you get all bummed out. You need to say, "God, you're able, but if it's not your will," never be afraid to accept the will of God. You have a loved one that's sick, and you're praying God heals him, and they die, and they go to heaven. Are you willing to accept God's will? That God knows what He's doing, that God's ways are best? Actually, it takes more faith to rest in God's will than it does to try to impose your will upon God. Like, this is going to happen. I believe it. I confess it. That settles it. Rather than saying, "God, I know you're able, but whatever you do, I will accept. I know you love me, and I know your ways for me are best, and I'm willing to accept your will in my life, knowing that you love me and that your plan is perfect." So, "but if not," that is more faith than trying to positively confess and claim that God is going to deliver you. They knew that God would actually deliver them out of the hand of the king, even if they had to go into the fiery furnace. What an awesome thing that is. Now, is it ever okay to disobey the powers that be? The answer is yes. If the edicts and the commandments of men command us to do something that is disobedience to God, we must obey God rather than man. We must do what God's commanded us to do. It's more important to obey God than it is to obey man and disobey God. So they said, "But if not, God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And be it known that we have not served thy gods nor worshiped the golden image which you have set up." Now, notice that they answered with conviction based on Scripture, confidence God was able, and commitment, "but if not." So conviction based on Scripture, confidence in God's ability to deliver, and a commitment that God's will was best. Now, I want you to notice in closing, verse 19 to verse 30, the deliverance of these faithful three. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury." That's King Jimmy for really mad. He was hotter than his furnace. And the form of his countenance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore spake he and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now, I realize that a lot of people like to read typology into this furnace and the three Hebrews, and I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Does the furnace represent the tribulation, 7 years? Does the image of Nebuchadnezzar represent the abomination of desolation? Do the three Hebrews represent the 144,000 safely through the tribulation? Does Daniel, not mentioned in the chapter, mention the church? He's not in view. He's been raptured. He's with the Lord. People like to read that into the story. One of the problems is there's nothing to back it up in the New Testament or other places. So we need to be careful that we don't read into the Bible something that God never intended there to be, even though the picture seems to be painted thus. But I want you to notice that. The furnace is heated up 7 times hotter than normal. And the commandment that the mighty men, verse 20, that were in the army, bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning furnace. These men were bound with their coats and their pants and their hats and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they weren't delivered from, they're going to be delivered in and through the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was very hot, the flames and the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these flames were so hot that the strong men that threw them in actually were consumed. Interesting point, because some critics of the miracle say that in those furnaces in those days, there sometimes would be cold spots, and the three found a cold spot in the furnace, and they kind of hid there. But a couple problems with that. The ropes were burnt. They burnt. If the ropes around their wrists and ankles are going to burn and break, then you would think they would be affected by the fire. And if the guys that threw them in, standing at a distance, they were consumed by the fire, how much more Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that fell bound into the fiery furnace, but yet God is going to preserve them. So they fell down bound, verse 23. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 24, was astonished. And he rose up in haste, and he spake and said unto the counselors. He must have had his own little king window looking in the furnace, you know. Fireproof glass, double pane, you could see into the furnace, and he's going to watch these guys melt before his very eyes. And he says to his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and they said unto the king, true, O king, yes, that's right. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? The king goes, excuse me, guys, how many did we throw into the furnace tonight? Didn't we throw 3 guys in there? Yeah, king, we threw 3. He goes, well, I see 4. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. I believe that Jesus showed up. I believe that that fourth visitor in the furnace was none other than Jesus Christ. This is what's called a Christophany. It's an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Christ shows up, and they're walking around. They're probably singing a song. Now, if I were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I got thrown in the fiery furnace, and I was bound with ropes, pop, the minute those things pop, I'd be, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I'd be out of there. Have you seen the cartoons with the puff of smoke going, you know? I'd probably run through the side of the furnace. Poof, there'd be a hole, like a little silhouette of my body. Poof, and the smoke going, woo-hoo-hoo. There goes John Miller. Smoke coming off me. But these three had to be said, come out. If you're walking around the furnace, you need somebody to tell you to come out? Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on, I need to talk to you guys. They had such an amazing encounter with the Lord. And this is a whole sermon in and of itself. In times of affliction, we most commonly meet, said John Bunyan, with the sweetest experiences of the love of God. You want to experience God? Then stand on His word in obedience, and no matter what comes your way, God will meet you and strengthen you and sustain you. And no matter what trial or adversity or trouble or difficulty you go through, God will meet you in that furnace. When through fiery pathways you go through a fire, God will meet you and He will be with you and He will sustain you. The flames will not hurt you. The water will not overflow you. God will be with you. So, number one, they experienced His presence. Jesus Christ was with them in the furnace. And so Nebuchadnezzar came and called them out, verse 26. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors began, verse 27, gathered together, saw these men upon whom their bodies, the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither was their coats singed or changed, and the smell of fire had not passed on them. It didn't touch them. They didn't even smell like smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This guy gets spiritual real quick. Who has sent His angel and delivered His servants and trusted in Him. I'm going to come back to verse 28. Trusted in Him and have not changed the king's word, nor yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. So he gave up on the furnace and he went back to his old methods. He figured it's not going to work, so I'll go back. They'll be cut up, your houses will be destroyed. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Isn't that great? He recognized that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of the Hebrews, was the true and living God. Then the king, verse 30, promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I want you to note these. Number one, they experienced God's presence, verse 25. Number two, verse 27, they experienced God's power. They saw that these men whose bodies the fire had no power. And number three, they experienced, verse 27, God's preservation. God preserved them and took care of them. And then number four, they experienced God's promotion. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now there's so much that we can draw from this story. But let me go back to verse 28 and point this out. Why did they experience God's presence and God's preservation and God's promotion? Here's why. They trusted in God, verse 28, and they yielded their bodies, verse 28. Two things. They trusted in God and they yielded their bodies. My suggestion is we do the same. Amen? That we trust in God. We trust in God and yield your bodies.
Everyone who went to church as a child learned the story of the men in the fiery furnace. And while it's an exciting story for kids, it's also a great example of how to walk out your faith. Today, Pastor John shared that these men experienced God's presence, power, preservation, and promotion during their circumstances. They trusted in God and knew that He was able to do what He said He'd do. No matter the outcome, these men believed in God and yielded their bodies to Him.
Sadly, many people have the wrong impression about the heart of God in regards to giving. We've all heard the pleas for money and support. Here at Revival Radio, we want you to be led by the Lord in your giving. Yes, it takes financial resources to produce Revival Radio, and we encourage you to support this ministry prayerfully. Every donation helps with airtime on stations, just like the one you're listening to right now. Would you seek the Lord about supporting Revival Radio? Revival.tv/give is the place you can provide a one-time donation or support Revival Radio monthly. Again, that's revival.tv/give.
Come back next time as Pastor John will continue in this survey through the book of Daniel. As you continue your way through this book, you'll see how God uses another dream to speak to King Nebuchadnezzar. But this time, the king doesn't humble himself before the Lord. God intervenes so that he will humbly turn to the Lord and seek after him. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us for Revival Radio.